Okay. I'm going to be singing off that track, Brother David. Brother David, you have to change it to track, and I'll be singing on the track too. Yeah. In Exodus 3:11, God asked Moses to go face the Pharaoh, and Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go to unto the Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Then another time, David wrote in 2 Samuel 7:18, "Then went King David in and sat before the Lord, and he said, 'Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And this is the manner of man, O Lord, O God.'" So as we look into the new year and we make our New Year's resolutions, I never do that because I was raised, don't make promises because the devil will make sure that you break them. You know, so we know, yeah, and that's what I was taught as a kid growing up. Be careful what you promise. But anyway, who am I? Who are we? This song is called "Who Am I?" We all can search our hearts and ask the Lord, "Who am I?" When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer pain and such disgrace, and at Calvary take my place. Then I ask myself this question: who am I? A king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, "Not my will, thine for"? The answer I may never know. Why he to an old rugged cross he'd go for. Who am I? Then I'm reminded of these words: "I'll leave thee never." Just be true, I'll give to you life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles till they're won. For who am I? King would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, "Not my will, thine for"? The answer I may never know. Why he ever loved me so, crooked cross he'd go for. Who am I? The answer I may never know. Why he ever loved me so. Then to the old rugged cross he'd go for. Wonderful to be here today on this New Year's Day. What a wonderful way to start the new year. We're glad that Dexter's with us today. Good to see him. And it's good to have Georgia with us again today. What a blessing it is to see her in our service. Just a word from Brother Wayne Fox. Went to see him yesterday. He's doing 100% better. Since he went to the doctor and they put him on oxygen and took some of that fluid that was around his heart. He's doing real well. Still not able to be with us, but let's pray that he'll be able to come back and be in our service again real soon. Today is New Year's Day, and I think a new place to start would be Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Someone has said, today, you are the oldest you have ever been. But also today, you are the youngest you will ever be. That's some words of wisdom. I try to remember that saying. It's kind of difficult, but it's true. Time must have been important to God, because he's the one that divided it up into sections. The Bible starts off in the beginning, so you've got to start there, don't you? And then when he gets down to verse 3, we find that he's divided it into days. And then when you get into verse 14, you find it's divided into months. And in Genesis chapter 7, finally you find weeks. That's months in Genesis 7. And weeks in Genesis 29. And then it's even divided up into hours. So time has got its divisions. And we still use these designations for the dividing of time even today. So today we call it New Year's Day. It's not always been so. But it started a long time ago. The best I could find out was that New Year's Day was set as January the 1st as far back as 153 B.C. That's 153 years before Christ. And it was done so by the Roman Senate. Interesting. There's been a New Year's for a long time. The old Julian calendar from which
our calendar came originated back in Rome in 45 BC, but it was redesigned by Pope Gregory on February the 24th of 1582 and was called the Gregorian calendar. Now, Great Britain and the United States, we were colonies over here at that time, were a little bit behind, and it was not accepted by us until September the 2nd of 1752. And that's just a little over 259 years ago. So it's our calendar is relatively new, isn't it? The Chinese have their calendars, and they'll celebrate New Year's Day somewhere between January the 20th and February the 20th. It's different every year. The people over in India, the Hindu calendar, has New Year's on the 13th or 14th of April each year, and that depends on whether it's a leap year or not. And by the way, this is a leap year that we're in now. Pay close attention to this one, because one of these days we'll be celebrating it here in the United States. Iran's New Year will begin March the 21st. Hey, they're making great headway. I'll tell you, all it takes is a little more Sharia law, and we'll be celebrating New Year's Day on March the 21st. Ethiopia had theirs on September the 11th or 12th, and there again, it depends on the leap year or not. So it goes. Each nation, each culture, seems to have their own way of reckoning time. By the way, the old Mayan or Aztec calendar, I think they're both about the same. I'm not up on that. I thought that it expired, that time was coming to an end in 2011, but I checked it out and it's supposed to be 2012. And I think that's where Harold Camping got his information about the world coming to an end. And of course it hasn't yet, but don't hold your breath, it's coming. It's coming, it'll be here before you know it. We're getting close. Now, so far as we are concerned, the frame of time is bent around that Bethlehem manger. We call that period of time before Christ came as B.C., and that's exactly what the letters B.C. mean, before Christ. And everything that is after him is called A.D. Now, A.D. is the abbreviation of Anno Domini, which means, listen to this, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. So most of the world today acknowledges Christ in the dating system. Even the old God-hating atheist out there who says there is no God, and if there is, he's no good. He'll write a check and he'll date it by the birth of Jesus Christ. He'll date a letter by the birth of Jesus Christ. Doesn't have sense enough to know it. But now there's another calendar that I want us to look at. And that's the calendar that God set up for the Jews. They've got a separate calendar. Back in 1462 B.C., by the way, this is recorded in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Listen to it. And the Lord spake. This is God. He's the Lord. And the Lord spake. Who's he talking to? Unto Moses and Aaron. Where were they? In the land of Egypt. What did he say? The Lord said, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now that month that he's talking about there was the month Abib. A-B-I-B. Now it was called Abib up until after the Jews returned from their Babylonian captivity. And after they got back to the promised land and started rebuilding Jerusalem, that month was changed to Nisan. The car is not named after the month. The month was named first. I had a Nissan back when it was called Datsun. Now that beginning of their months corresponds with our month of April, by the way, not January the 1st. But I looked in the Bible and there were quite a few interesting things that happened on New Year's Day. Let me give you a few of those. In Exodus chapter 40, after God had given Moses the plans for the tabernacle when he was on Mount Sinai, he came down from the mountain and they put together the tabernacle. And that construction of that tabernacle in the wilderness was completed and it was dedicated to God on New Year's Day. Interesting. Over in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, Hezekiah is the king of Judea at that time, and the temple had been polluted. The people had turned to idols. And they no longer worshiped God in the temple. And weeds were grown up in the courtyard. And the doors of the temple were hanging on broken hinges and such as this. But Hezekiah brought the people back to God. They went in and they fixed up the temple and they rededicated it to the Lord on New Year's Day of that year. In the book of Ezra, chapter 7 and verse 9, it was New Year's Day when the decree went forth that the Jewish exiles, they'd been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years, they were released and allowed to go back to their homeland on New Year's Day. I can imagine that would have been a great, great day. And then in Nehemiah chapter 2, we find that there was a king, his name was Artaxerxes, who issued a decree giving Nehemiah the authority to go back to Jerusalem and start building that city's walls again. And that was dated on New Year's Day. There's another one that is yet future. This is a New Year's Day that will take place in the future, according to a prophecy in Ezekiel 45, verse 18. There's coming a time in the future that the Jews will be allowed to rebuild their temple in Jerusalem. They can't build it now because the place where they want to build it is where the old temple used to sit, and they don't want to build it on the other side of town. They want to build it where it used to be. And where it used to be, the Arabs have got a very, they got their church there now. So something's got to happen between now and then that that area gets cleared off and they can build their temple. But after they get that temple built, there's coming a time, you and I won't be here to see it, but there's coming a time when a person, we call him the Antichrist, will come to power. And that Antichrist is going to go into the Jews' restored temple, and he's going to desecrate it like old Antiochus Epiphanes did way back under 160 years before Jesus came. And that millennial temple, we call it the millennial temple, is going to be cleansed on New Year's Day and rededicated to the Lord. That's yet to come. Now this Abib, or Nisan, that the month that we're talking about, was also the month of the Passover. Now the Passover didn't start on January the 1st, so to speak, New Year's Day. It started on the 14th. But that's when the Passover was sacrificed to God. And that started among the Jews way back yonder in the land of Egypt, when the Jews were still in bondage in Egypt in the days of Moses. And by the way, that Passover day is still observed by the Jews as their religious New Year on their biblical calendar. Started way back yonder before the Exodus. And it's still going. Now, its competition today on the Jewish calendar is a feast or festival called Rosh Hashanah. Now, Rosh Hashanah is also important to the Jewish people because that's the year of creation for them. That's when Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And they celebrate Rosh Hashanah, which means head of the year. That's their New Year's, dating back to creation, the first day of creation. They, by the way, they started their year this past September, September the 28th, it was their year 5,772. Now, according to our calculations, we're slightly ahead of them because we start the year 5,987. What's the difference? Well, it's like this. They go by the lunar month. That's the moon. We go by the solar. That's the sun. And that's the difference. And that's what makes the difference between their time of 5772 and our time of 5987. Because they go lunar and we go solar. Now, when we think about time, time for you and me began when we were born. Several of us have birthdays in January. I looked at our bulletin this morning. We got a lot of celebrating to do this month, I'll tell you. Time began for us when we were born. And we celebrate that day that we were born, and we call it our birthday. And most everybody celebrates their birthday. They have one, whether they celebrate it or not. Whether you like it or not. What is it? You're the oldest that you'll ever be, or the youngest, or something like that. I've already forgotten what I said to start with. But anyway, our time begins when we're born. You know when it expires? When we die. It expires, our time expires when we die. I'll give you a for instance. My daddy was born on August the 30th, 1898. Boy, that seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? 1898. And his time started then, and he died on the 5th of January, 1979. So we can say that my dad lived for 80 years, 4 months, and 6 days. But here's a catch. Back in 1934, there was an evangelist who came to that little country church in East Texas and preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when he did, my daddy got under conviction. And he realized that he was a sinner and needed to be saved. And when the invitation was given, he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and was born again. Amen. So he had 2 birthdays. He had a birthday when time began for him, and he had a new birthday, which was his spiritual birthday in Christ Jesus. He accepted that free gift from Almighty God. And that free gift of God was eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. And my daddy got eternal life that day when he accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. He was born into the family of God, and he had a spiritual birthday. He had passed, the Bible says, from death unto life. Passed from death unto life. But he did not enter into that eternal life until he died on January the 5th, 1979. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Wonderful. Now, we've just celebrated Christmas. And Christmas is the time when Jesus Christ was born of the Virgin Mary in Bethlehem and was wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, right? That's when time began for him, but he did not begin to exist at that time as some people would have you to believe.
That's right.
He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the eternal one. Now, he was born into this world after 33 and a half years here on earth in a human body like we have. He was crucified on an old rugged cross outside the north wall of Jerusalem, and he died. He was taken down from the cross and buried in Joseph's new tomb by Joseph and Nicodemus. And he lay in that tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. And then he rose from the dead in a new, glorified, eternal body. He showed himself alive by many infallible proofs. For 40 days. And then one day he went with his disciples to that Mount of Olives on the east of Jerusalem, and he was teaching them, and as he taught them, gravity turned loose of him, and he began to ascend up into heaven, and a cloud received him out of their sight. 2 men in white apparel stood there, and they said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go." Now you go and wait in Jerusalem until you receive that power that he promised. And then after the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you, you go into all the world in the power of that Spirit and you preach the gospel to every creature. Now, New Year's is associated, as we said, with Passover. And that to us is when Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. He's the one that says, "Behold, I make all things new." So your spiritual New Year's began on the date that you accepted Christ as your personal Savior, that your Passover that was sacrificed for you. Now, in contrast to time, there is an immeasurable commodity that's called eternity. Eternity is without limits. Eternity is time without end. Eternity has no beginning and no end. It's everlasting. That means that it lasts forever. The words eternal life are found in your New Testament 26 times. You and I enter into eternal life when we are born again, when we're saved, when we believe in Jesus, when we accept Him as our personal Savior, not when you die and go to heaven.
Amen. That's right.
I have as much eternal life right now as I will 500 years from now. I am as much a child of God right now as I will be 500 years from now. Why? Because when I was born again, I became a child of God. An heir of God and joint heir with Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he that hath the Son hath life. And that life is eternal life. John wrote in his gospel and he said, "Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life." Jesus said, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." I want you to notice that eternal life is a gift of God. That means you can't earn it. That means you don't merit it. You're not worthy of it. But God in His grace gives us the gift of eternal life. Paul wrote and said, "The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And John again writes, "This is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life." And again he says, "God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." He also speaks of everlasting life. You find everlasting life mentioned 11 times in your New Testament. That means it will never run out. It will never expire. It will never be terminated. Again, it is a gift of God to be received, not works that are to be earned. Never be terminated. We can't earn it. We don't deserve it. But we need it. We need it. If anyone and everyone ask for for it, they would get it.
Amen.
Because it's free for the asking. You have not because you ask not. If you don't have eternal life, it's because you haven't asked for it. You ask and you shall receive. By the way, you can't get it anywhere else. God is the only one who can give it. He's the only one. You can't buy it at the grocery store. It's never on sale. God has a monopoly on it. You can't find it in religion. You can only find it in Jesus Christ. One of these days, we read about it in Revelation chapter 10. This is wonderful. I was reading this and my soul was thrilled. A mighty angel shall come down from heaven. He shall be clothed with a cloud. And he'll be wearing a rainbow upon his head. His face will shine as the sun, and his feet will appear as pillars of fire. And the Bible says that he sets his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth, and he lifts up his hand to heaven and swears by him who sits on the throne that time shall be no more. Gonna run out of time. That's when we move into eternity. This year, 2012, could have no December the 31st. This year could just merge into eternity. And it may for some of us. What a day that will be. I ask you the question this morning, are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? Let's stand together with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the promise of eternal life that you've made to us through Jesus Christ. We thank you that it's free. It doesn't cost us anything to get it. All we have to do is come to you in faith, believing, and ask for it, and we shall receive it. If there's one here in this congregation today, and only you know the hearts of each and every one of us, you know today whether we're prepared to meet you or not. And there may perchance be one here in our service that, well, for them, they have no spiritual birthday. They haven't been born again. And we would like to see them saved today. And as we give an invitation today, this invitation is going to be, as it were, from you. And we want you to, you've promised to be with us as we gather together. And today, we want you to take this service and stand here in front of us in your invisible form with your invisible hands stretched out, those nail-scarred hands. And we want you to invite people. Through your Holy Spirit, speak to hearts today and turn men and women's hearts to God and to things eternal and show them Jesus and his great love and give them the personal invitation. Whosoever will come, let him come. Father, today for your name's honor and glory, we dedicate this service. Use it for your name's honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
491.
number 491, the invitation hymnal this morning. While we sing today, will you come? Will you come? Services tonight. We'll be having services at 6 o'clock. And then Wednesday evening we'll be having our Bible study, so keep those services in mind. And Brother John, will you lead us, please, in our benediction?
Gracious Father, we want to praise and we want to thank you that we were able to open our eyes this morning and see another year. We know, Father, that you have broken time into several compartments, days, years, months, even minutes and seconds. And we know that your word tells us to number our days. Amen. We know that there are some of us in the assembly here who are living beyond our allotted time of the 80 years and 10, and we are living on time that you've given us extra, Father. We pray that we might, all of us, learn to walk, to keep our eyes open, to walk circumspectly in this new year, to look around and to see what's happening, and to look for occasions, Father, to be able to witness and to testify for the Lord Jesus Christ. For we realize that the days are short, time is coming to an end, and Father, that day is coming which we look for hopefully, Father. We say, even come, Lord Jesus. We look for his return. We keep our eyes open, Father, for his return, as we've been told to do with the word of God, to be watchmen and awake, active, occupied until he comes. And so we pray this morning, Father, that you will enable us to walk, looking around, beholding things, Father, to be very careful not to become entangled with the world, which is so easy to do. We thank you for the fellowship of saints. We thank you for the beautiful privilege that we have of being able to meet together unmolested to give you the praise and worship which you rightfully deserve. And so, Father, this day as we go out meditating upon what we have been taught this morning, we pray that we might rejoice in our hearts and our minds as we look forward to this new year of hope, as we see things crumbling around. We see things falling down. We see turmoil and strife and terror in the world. And yet we thank you, Father, that you have enabled us to have that peace beyond understanding. And we thank you, Father, that we have this peace within and that we are walking with our Lord Jesus. We praise you and thank you for him. Dismiss us now with your blessing and presence, Father, as we continue and go our various ways, we pray, in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.